He is a sports performance psychologist, Dr. Eddie O'Connor. Welcome back into the Sports Project.
Always good to be here, Steve. Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. Talk about your new certification that you just had, the PSYPACT certification, and what that means to your potential customers.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. It's super exciting. So it's a SYPACT, and what that basically means is, as you might know, licensed psychologists have to practice only within their state where they're licensed. And a number of years ago, SYPACT came out to help people do telehealth medicine across state lines and be certified to practice under a license in a different state. And Michigan's a little bit slow to have done it. There's been about 34 states that did it before us, but just about a month ago, Michigan passed the law that now Michigan psychologists are able to do that. So I got my application in right away, and just 2 days ago, was accepted, got my certification. So now what that means is, if you've got performance anxiety and you need a clinical sports psychologist and you live in 35 of the states here in the U.S., I can now help you. So I'm super excited about being able to extend my reach and make a positive impact on the athletic community.
Well, congratulations. And it's learning is an ongoing thing, right, in your profession, probably in any profession. And if you stop being a learner, I think you get in trouble a little bit. Talk a little bit about athletes and them worrying. Worry is how could I frame this? It's sort of a killer, and not physically, folks, but mentally. Talk our audience through that.
Yeah, so I've really found that, particularly since COVID, anxiety is up, but it's always been a thing. And what I love to tell the athletes first and foremost continues to be, like, this isn't a problem. We have four basic human emotions: happy, sad, mad, and scared. And if you listen to them, only one of them is positive. And all four of them have a useful function. So when we worry, particularly, let's say, before competition, and my athletes will come and they're like, they want to cut it out. They want to be confident. They want to believe positive things. And I'm like, but that's not true. Like, somebody is going to lose. You could make a mistake. You might get embarrassed. So anxiety and this worry that you have ahead of time, if I could teach you to actually understand that, hey, let me use this like a fire alarm. It's going off. Let me lean into the alarm and check out what it might be saying and then prepare myself and do something about it. You can develop this relationship with your anxiety where it's not so much problematic, but actually helpful, because it's a built-in warning system.
Anxiety is normal. It's a motivator. I know in some of my experiences, it's a testosterone. it gets you, you know, people talk about the runner's high and they talk about all these other things you get out of athletics, but it's a juice for you to excel if you use it right, right?
That's it, exactly. And you're hitting it, Steve, because it's not the presence of anxiety. And I'm not here to say that if you're highly anxious and your life's falling apart as a result of it,
right,
it's normal and don't worry about it. But it's just like you had said, it's, well, how do I choose to respond to it? Because if I understand it as safe and as a warning system, well, then I can respond to it and I can let some of the anxiety go if it turns out that I checked it out and I don't have to worry. Or if before a game, for example, I'm worried and I say, well, then what I need to do is my pre-shot routine or warm up and stretch really well and focus on what I need to do now. If you use the anxiety as a trigger to move on from it and take action, then it works. But anxiety doesn't work when we get stuck inside of our heads and we continue to ruminate and we get caught up in the future and we have the physiological effects and the experience of this terrible thing that I'm fearing and I'm feeling it now and now I'm distracted. So it's not the presence of anxiety that's the problem, but rather your reaction to it. And that's where we want to do the work.
You talk about anxiety being one thing and then taking accountability for what you're going to do with that anxiety and how you're going to perform is another thing. And in society right now, I hate to do the broad stroke here, but accountability is sort of going to the wayside, and it's got to come back into being a focus, especially for the family. Talk about accountability a little bit in your practice.
Yeah, really glad you're bringing that up, too. I just had a recent Twitter discussion with friend of the show, Wendy Erlbeck, the nutritionist, and we were kind of on Twitter talking about this, of how important it is that people will want these results. But what we're both seeing, what we're all seeing in this world is, you know, we kind of want things quickly and easily. I've even seen some teams where, like, we put in a good week of practice and we deserve to win. And the idea is that no, we really don't deserve any of these outcomes. If we want these results, there's a biological, objective bunch of facts that we have to go through that really don't care about how we think and feel. And so it's just something that we really want to get across and say, if we can get more ownership and we can really hold ourselves accountable and responsible for our own outcomes, it's not to shame people, but rather to empower them, to kind of say, it really is up to you. And so if we can be willing to do that difficult work, the slow gains, the discipline, that's really where your success is going to come, and not get all caught up in the easy fixes or being like, I want an easier way to do it.
There are no easy fixes. And if anything's worth chasing, it's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard. Talk about anxiety. I have three kids who went through college, and talk about, as a parent, having anxiety through those 4 years. Dr. Eddie O'Connor, sports psychologist, has a son that just went through 4 years, maybe longer, at the University of Michigan, but graduated just recently. Were those anxiety-filled years, you know, taking accountability as a parent? And then what was the feeling of watching your son graduate and walk across that stage?
Yeah, thanks. I've got four kids myself, so each one is different, right? It's like I've got different anxieties for all four different kids because they have different strengths and they have different challenges. And I think the anxiety of all of it just comes out is that I want the very best for them. And like I teach my athletes, what I do for myself is I'm like, okay, what is this anxiety about? Are they really in trouble? And I'm like, no, it's because I don't want them to be hurt. So my anxiety, first and foremost, is a sign that I love my kids. And so then I'm like, okay, so I can't just panic. And every time I have a thought, I can't believe it and just respond to it. So I look in and I see, well, how is my kids doing? Are they studying? Are their finances okay? Are they in good social circles? Do they want my help or not? And I just have this constant dialogue with myself going back and forth. And each one is different. I also kind of realize that they have to learn their lessons. So there's a fair amount of me being sure that I'm not a helicopter parent. And I say, okay, I can give them some advice and then be available that if they don't do well, they make a mistake, that I'm there to help them learn from that mistake. And I think that's the biggest challenge of my kids going now from high school to college and becoming young adults, is I'm becoming less of a parent, more of a coach.
You try. It's really hard because the accountability thing comes back into play. We have a obligation to say things that are a little difficult, sometimes a lot difficult, and to be the truth sayers of things to keep them on track. And yet you want to support them because they're not chasing your dream. They're chasing their dream. And our job is to be that support mechanism. So there's two sides of the coin there. And what did it feel like on the graduation ceremony?
Oh, that really was great. You know, just to be able to sit back and see the excitement of how many people in the big house. There was just huge one. Then he graduated in a degree in architecture, so there was a smaller ceremony there. And it was nice. It was like he was super happy to wrap it up. But now the excitement we have about what's next. So I want to give him like a week or two to kind of chill out and relax. But he's already ready and gung-ho about, okay, well, like, what's going to the next step be? But it's not in the sense of I have to do something, but of like, you know, welcome to like full adulthood. Now, what's the impact? What are you going to do? And there's a great excitement in the house about it and what's the potential could be.
It's
learning
just
about to start.
It's just such a, it's a 4 or 5 year commitment. So number one, I congratulate them on the commitment. And then there's a determination and thing in there. If they want to excel within their, you know, against their peers and their classmates. And then it's just tremendous accomplishment getting that degree and, you know, finishing the grind, I call it, because it's, God, there's a lot of good times. There's a lot of pressure taking exams and studying. And then you talk about going through COVID and going and all this anxiety stuff that's popping up. It's hard, and it should be applauded when they cross that initial finish line. And then I tell those graduates, congratulations, and now go forward. Because now they get to use it, though. See, that's the go forward. It's like an athlete lifting weights and running and working out. Then they get to perform and really showcase their skills and their talents. And that's the next springboard for them.
Well, and as you started the show off very well, continue to learn, right? Because you got your degree, but boy, there's a lot more to, you know, decades of information that you can get and iterate and change, so that learning doesn't stop. So don't expect yourself to be perfect and have it figured out. You're in the kindergarten of life now.
Yeah, and it's a new wave. It's a new segment for them. They're going to be the freshmen again at their job. They're going to be the newbies, and that's okay. Yeah. And then you learn, and you learn the ropes of that organization, and you learn how you may want to progress and climb up that ladder, or what's it going to take to perform to get what you want out of that job and be valuable to that business organization that hires you. Dr. Eddie O'Connor, where can people find you if they want to talk to you individually?
DrEddieO'Connor.com. I certainly help people individually with consultations. And then there's that Success Stories membership that I've added this chat, Dr. Eddie. It's this AI that now pulls all of my content. So 24/7, you can get your questions answered. So I'm really excited about what's happening inside the membership.
Beautiful. Dr. Eddie O'Connor, sports performance psychologist. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on The Sports Project.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.